Good morning. How's everybody today? Pastor Joey just said to me, man, a donkey could preach in this atmosphere today. I'm not sure exactly what that meant. I think I know. It's encouraging, I guess. Oh, man. I love that we are in an environment where what matters most about a time together like this is the heart of God being released. Like, it's the priority. And, you know, when Wes came over to me, he just, I don't like to do this kind of thing, but the body grows by that which every joint supplies. And we grew today because of the obedience of Wes to come over and release what the Lord was sharing with him. That's one of the things that's so just huge in my heart, is that you all hold pieces of what God is going to do. It isn't about one person or even three people or a staff. It's about you releasing what God is doing and saying in you. And I love that. Can we just lift up our hands right now one more time and just worship him? Go ahead. I can tell you're ready to do it, so just do it. Just give him exaltation this morning. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Exalt the name of Jesus. Be lifted up. Be the center of it. Be the center of our time. Be the center of this room. Be the center. Your heart released today, God. Be right here. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. Yeah. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Man, God is good. God is so good. Hallelujah. And I am okay that I have like a lot less time than I have notes to get through. So this will be good for me to get off my notes. In worship, I'm just so off the notes. In preaching, I tend to stick to the notes. And the Lord's like stretching, so that's good, right? The Lord's always wanting to stretch us. Comfort is not the place that the Lord thrives in, right? We always think, oh, we should do what we're really good at. That's not always the way the Lord works. He's like, I actually want to work through you in ways that you're really uncomfortable with. I want to put you in situations where your awesomeness can't work. Where you actually have to rely on me. That's a new concept for the Western culture. That's not even my message. Whoa, I guess a donkey could preach in this atmosphere. So, I've been thinking about church, and I've been thinking about Hope Church a lot, and we've been talking about hope and where we're going and where we've been. And you know, this last December, Hope Church celebrated a birthday, 20 years old. Hope is a 20-year-old young adult. Right? If you're a parent, you understand the dynamics of your kids growing from ages, you know, from a baby, right? A baby needs lots of care. You're like checking on the baby all the time. Is the baby breathing? I did that. I still do that to my kids. I check in their beds. Are you breathing? I look for the covers to go up and down. You know, baby comes. I remember when we took our baby home from the hospital, our firstborn, Olivia. I remember this moment in the car leaving the hospital and where our little family's all packed in there, and I thought, I can't believe they're letting us take her home. Because I'm like, we're just not ready for this. Like, how do we do this, you know? And so there's those first months and weeks that are so sensitive. And then your child becomes 2 years old. Does anybody have a 2-year-old? Well, I have a 2-year-old right now, and that is such an awesome season in the life of a kid, right? The word you hear a lot is no. Like, to your face, like, This little two-year-old, my Ruby, this little red-headed fireball, she's so full of fire, so awesome. And she thinks she's in charge of me. And there are times I have looked at her when she's saying no to me, and I say, "You are not the boss. I'm the boss." She just looks at me, "No." I like to think it's just, you know, she's going to be a great leader. She's like trying to put this vest on yesterday, this vest jacket, right? Because we're going outside, it was a little chillier out. So she's got her one arm in. She's like, I'm like, "Let me help you." She's like, "No." She's running around the house trying to get her arm in. It's like stuck behind her back. I'm seeing this and I'm saying there's no possible way her little hand is ever going to find the hole of this vest to get her arm through, right? I'm like, "Ruby, come here." And I start trying to do it, and she jerks away and flails on the floor because she's really a good girl. But sometimes, you know, that two thing happens. And I'm like, "No, let me help you." And she's like, "No." She's like, "No." And finally, I just grabbed it and forced her hand through, and she just looked at me like, "No, thank you," you know? And so, you know, a two-year-old, and then you have elementary school and all these, like, seasons in the development of a child, right? Then you go to middle school, and then you go to high school, and all of a sudden, you know, you're thinking about college, and your child is thinking about college, and what career path, you know, are they going to take? And more importantly, like, who are they becoming? And even more important than who are they becoming, like, who will they become? And I really believe that even as Hope Church is a 20-year-old young adult, we're in a tender time again of saying, who are we becoming? Like, what's been has been so awesome, and God has just had his hand on it, but it's another one of those seasons of tender development in the life of our church and where we're going. And I believe before us is an opportunity to impact and shape the culture of not only Springfield, but the region, and even beyond that to the world. I do believe it. Do you know that the amount of people in this room could literally change the culture and impact Springfield in such a great way? Just you. Forget about second service. Forget about those Saturday night people. You could. Yeah. Amen to that. So I was thinking about, you know, I believe the dream of God is so gigantic for this house. And one of the reasons that I believe that is that from the inception of Hope Church, when Pastor Gary heard the call of the Lord to come to Springfield and plant this place, two things were happening. One, he didn't want to plant a church. And two, he didn't want to come to Springfield. So that to me is like, that's a good thing. And he obeyed and he came here. And it was by the word from heaven. He came in an apostolic way in that he was sent. When God sends someone to do something, it's going to be accomplished, right? And I believe that the word of the Lord has been over this community and this people that's far greater than a man, any staff person. It's about a community. And we know what the word says. When every word that comes from heaven will not go back until it's completed what it's sent forth to do. So how many know that there's a lot more completion to be done through us? It's the truth. And so I learned this principle years ago that basically says this: whatever the Lord does first in you, he will then do through you. Whatever the Lord first does in you, he will then do through you. You could say it like this: whatever he does through you, he first does in you. And in other words, you can't give what you don't have. You can't give something that you don't have in your possession. And today the title of the message is called The Empowered Church. And I want to talk about this. I absolutely love talking about the church. I love reading about the early church. I spoke a message about 6 months ago here, really with a similar heart to what I'm going to share today. I don't recycle messages. I'm not that smart to do it. I strictly flow from, like, God, this is what I'm hearing your heart to be, and I want to share that. So this morning, that's where I'm coming from. And I believe that the Lord is speaking to us through Justin last week and some of the things that have been happening. It's like our church has been ramping up for something great. Do you believe that?
This isn't a glorifying of hope church. This is about the kingdom of God through a community, okay? And so I love reading the book of Acts. I love it because it's just such an adventurous book, you know? It's just exciting. When you read it, it speaks and it paints a picture of what we're to be, right? If you ever lose touch of what is church supposed to be about, you go back to the book of Acts and you look at it, and then all of a sudden you're refreshed. And sometimes it convicts us because it's actually a picture of what we aren't. It can be. And it can be, as you read it, a picture of what we aren't seeing yet, but give us a dream of what we will see and what there is to come. And so this morning, we're going to just jump in. You know, right after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, the book of Acts opens up with the resurrected Jesus appearing to the disciples. And it says there in that first chapter of Acts, it says, he appeared many times to the disciples over 40 days, okay? He's resurrected. Acts chapter 1, Jesus appears to them, to the disciples, and he tells them, don't depart from Jerusalem where you are. He says, wait. He says, wait for the promise of my Father. And the promise was that they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So he says, wait. I know you've spent the last few years with me, but wait, because there's something else coming that you're going to need. So Jesus says in verse 8, he says, and if you have your Bibles, grab them, it'll be on the screen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's all kind of a household scripture, right, that we've heard so many times. Jesus was prophesying about what was to come on the day of Pentecost. So he's saying, wait, because you're going to receive power, and you're going to need this power. Verse 2 says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, this is a picture of that. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And what does it say? Suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5, now they were dwelling in Jerusalem. There were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, it says, at this sound, the multitude came together. And they were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in our own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, and that's when I just start speaking in tongues to just get all these out. You know, to skip through them, you know, because it doesn't really matter right now in this context. And they say, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others, mocking, said, they're filled with new wine. So this is a picture. You've all heard it, I'm sure, most of you, unless you're new. You hear this around here quite a bit. They're all together, 120 of them in the upper room, right? And it says a sound from heaven comes. A sound from heaven. I heard a little bit of that sound this morning. The sound from heaven comes, and it mighty rushing wind comes and blows in, it says, and it fills the entire house. Fire rests on them. Literal fire. They begin to speak in other tongues. And it's only 9 in the morning. The sound of heaven had come upon those 120. And the scripture says, at that sound, the multitudes gathered. Because they were bewildered. Because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language the mighty works of God. And it says they were amazed and astonished. How many know that when the Holy Spirit is being poured out, people are amazed and astonished? I mean, it just happens. How many know that when the sound of heaven is released, people gather to that sound? It says they were amazed and perplexed, saying, what does this mean? Have you ever had those moments where you have that encounter, an encounter with God, and you say, what does this mean? Or you're in an atmosphere where God is really moving and there's things happening that you don't understand and you say, what is that all about? Maybe for some of you this morning, things happened here and you thought, what is that? What is that about? I want to tell you today, church, we should be having moments that we can't explain. It's a lie to think that everything has to be explained out completely. It's just not true. I mean, Jesus told things all the time that people did not understand. This was new for the church to experience all of these things, and they were not able to explain it. This wasn't some Western button-down ministry. This was a sound of heaven blowing in with fire and power and authority. It was an encounter like never before, and it was an encounter and a manifestation of what God was doing that they had never had happen before, to the point that they thought these people are drunk. Verse 14 says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, he lifted up his voice and he addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. In other words, he's saying, listen up, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. This is what was uttered. And in the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants in those days, I'll pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise. Verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words. Listen up. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. In other words, God knew everything that was going on. There was no mistake happening. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he's at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You've made known to me the paths of life. You'll make me full of gladness in your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. In other words, what you're seeing and hearing today is that. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Verse 37, this is so powerful. It says, now they heard this. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Can we give the Lord a shout of praise for that? What hits me about this, there's so many things, but the coward Peter. Peter was a coward, right? He all of a sudden has an encounter with the Holy Spirit, gets filled up with the Spirit, turns into a different person, and he can't hold himself back from preaching. Days before, he couldn't even say he knew Jesus to a servant girl. Come on, does that give anybody hope this morning? What can happen to you when you encounter the power of the Holy Spirit? You can become a different person. You're not just resting on who you were. When you encounter the presence of God, you change. You become different. You break into something that you were created to break into. It's the power of the Holy Spirit on you. If you're a failure, it's okay. Have an encounter. Put yourself before God and bam, you become a powerhouse. It's great hope for us. It's great hope for all of us in this room. That's the power of the Spirit upon a man. But not only a man, the power of the Spirit upon a community. I mean, think about this, right? The sound of heaven comes and is released on a city. How many know that that's an act of God for that multitude of that many people to gather? I mean, they didn't have texting, right? They didn't say, hey, get over here. This is crazy. What's going on? They didn't call their friend up. They didn't get it on Facebook, you know, and say, hey, my post, you got to get to 2121 Holy Spirit Drive, you know. You got to get over here. That didn't happen. People responded because they heard a sound. And they were working, and they were going to school, and they were playing, and they were running errands, and they were at Starbucks getting their coffee. And they heard the sound of heaven released on a people. And they said, we got to go to that sound. And I'm telling you, that was the craziest thing that they'd ever seen. And what hits me is that people were not turned away. They were turned on by it. The fire, what is happening right now? Jesus is stirring us up. People were turned on because it was real. And it was something they'd never had before. This was not a seeker-sensitive experience. This was a heaven-sensitive experience. And God breaks in a place. 3,000 people get saved. They were caught to the heart. Because the sound of heaven was released. Woo! Yeah. 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 Woo. Church, I want to suggest to you today that in our development as a community and where God is taking us, we cannot sophisticate the fire. We cannot sophisticate the fire. The fire is actually what the city needs. The fire is what the church needs. The fire is what the streets need. The presence and power of God is what the region needs. They need a church that's full of power. They need a church that's full of fire, full of authority, full of love. That's what our city needs. They need a church that's full of the prophetic, meaning you carry the heart of God and you release it. They don't need some dumbed down, like, be careful how we say it kind of thing. The multitude will come when the sound of heaven is released. Yeah. Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Yeah. And church, we need glory. We need glory in the church. We need glory in the church. The church has got to be full of glory because he said his glory is going to cover the earth like waters the sea. How do you think he's going to do it? He's going to do it through the church. He's going to do it through the church. I read this quote the other day that said, glory is lacking in God's house. And it is glory that ignites and empowers the word and transforms doctrine and mere religious services into life-changing conviction and heavenly events. Woo! That is my heart. That's Pastor Gary's heart. From the inception of Hope, there was a giant no way to just religious services and religious routine and program. There was a giant yes to heavenly events. Heavenly events being released here at Hope that break into the atmosphere of the city. And where the reality becomes the reality of heaven becomes the reality of a community. Right here, Ephesians 3:21 says, to him be glory in the church. To him be glory in the church. There's got to be glory in the church. And if there's not glory in the church, it's not church. If there's not glory in the church, it's not church. And if the glory doesn't come through the church, then it does not come at all. Because if it's not in the church, how is it going to be communicated to the world? It's got to come through the church. The cross changed everything. And I believe that the day of Pentecost changes everything again. It changes every moment. Because that day shifted it when we live under an open heaven now, that we can access all of heaven all of the time. What that means is that every morning when you wake up, it's impregnated with possibility. Every moment is impregnated with possibility of what God wants to do. You don't have to live that boring life of living your own little thoughts in your small world. You now get to tap into heaven and dream and live big. Yeah! Woo! Yeah! It's a good news, church. It's a good news. Gosh, you guys are awesome. You guys are, I think a donkey really could preach here today. He is awesome. He is awesome. You all need to come back to second service with me and help them walk into this too, okay? Seriously, come back. That'd be awesome. Woo! Jesus. Acts 2 was the empowering of the church. It was the empowering of the church. And what were they empowered for? They were empowered to be witnesses. Remember? Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit came upon them and they were empowered to be witnesses. How many would agree that the Holy Spirit is still empowering the church of Jesus Christ to be witnesses? I want to back up to Matthew 28, verse 18. This is right after the crucifixion. The disciples go to Galilee and they see the resurrected Jesus. Verse 17 says they worshiped him there. And then Jesus declares to them the Great Commission. You've all heard the Great Commission, right? Verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. This is the commission of Jesus. Not only for the disciples there, but how many know that that is still our commission for the church of Jesus Christ in the year 2014? Jesus says, I authorize you. I give you authority. I commission you. Make disciples. I want you to go. Baptize them. You should baptize people. Not people on the stage. You should baptize people. Get your friends saved and bring them and baptize them. We'll open it up. Let's just keep it running back there. Keep it heated up so you come. Hey, yeah, we got to get in about 2 o'clock today. I got about 4 today. Let's dunk them. Hallelujah. I'm serious. enough of this, like, once every 2 months we do our service. What about you come in and bring in your people and baptizing them? Yeah, that's a good idea. Man, it's so good. So I heard Bill Johnson say this a long time ago. It's such a great quote. He says, the authority was given with the commission. The power comes through the encounter. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, the kingdom of God doesn't consist in power, or it doesn't consist in talk, but in power. I got that wrong. Back up. The kingdom of heaven doesn't consist in talk, but in power. The kingdom that comes through you and through me is a kingdom of power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you receive power to do what he's commissioned you to do. Power to be a witness. Power to be a witness of the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. It's an empowerment, not just to lead people to Jesus or get him to say the sinner's prayer. It's a power and empowering to release the entire gospel. In other words, what Jesus did on earth, you've been empowered now to do through the Spirit wherever you go. So Romans 14:17, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. You're a witness of Jesus when you release peace. You're a witness of Jesus when you release righteousness. You're a witness of Jesus when you release joy. I was at Starbucks a few weeks ago. I go there quite a bit, and I have an addiction that I need setting free from at the end of service. It actually started when we had children because they didn't sleep, and I had to continue. I didn't drink a cup of coffee until I was like 28 years old. Anyways, just a side note. I won't charge you for that information. And so I was at Starbucks the other day. I go to this one up here quite a bit, and there's this guy and this girl working there that they're some of my favorites, and they say I'm like their favorite customer too. Isn't that nice? Made my day when they said that one day. So I walk up and I go, how are you doing? And the guy looks at me and he says, I am so ticked. Only he didn't say ticked. Just can't say that because I'm a pastor. What he said. I'm so ticked, he said. And he's like, I called this other coworker of mine and I asked him to take my shift and he didn't even call me back. And he just called right now and he wanted me to take his shift and da-da-da-da-da. And the girl next to him's like, yeah, it's really bad. I'm like, that's bad. That is rough. And I'm just so mad at him, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, he's just mad, I'm so ticked, I can't believe he did that, and we have this line of people, and da-da-da-da, all this just frustration, mad, you know, and I'm just standing there, and I'm like, wait for it, because I'm like, okay, Lord, do you want me to say something right now? Because I know you do. I just don't know what you want me to say. You know, so I'm standing there, and then all of a sudden there's sort of this like awkward moment of silence where they're looking at me and I'm looking at them, and they don't even realize that they're waiting on me to tell them the words of life. I know what's coming, and I'm like, okay, blow in, Lord, blow in, blow in, tell me. And I go, all of a sudden this just comes to me, I felt like from the Lord. It's like, you know, what I found is that when you actually operate in the opposite spirit of what someone's doing to you, that's how you really get them. He looks at me, and the girl, her face lights up. She goes, like, kill them with kindness. And I say, yeah, get them good. Get them good. And I thought, you know, I don't know. I felt like that would translate. And they knew what I meant, you know. And in that moment, in that little moment that wasn't a salvation prayer or anything, I released the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's a million times where I didn't. But I'm walking and I'm growing into this because I want to release the kingdom of heaven. If it's righteousness, peace, and joy, then I release peace into that situation where there's turmoil and frustration and anger. I release the peace of heaven over that situation. Church, we're called to release that. Jesus calmed a storm, and you can too. When you walk into it, and it doesn't have to be with people in the church. I'm talking about you release heaven in places with people that are really far away from the reality of that. You walk in, and God, not in a preachy way, like Justin was talking about last, he's not about being right. You just release heaven into those moments. Where somebody's discouraged and depressed, you walk in and you release joy over that. You know what I'm talking about? Where someone's downcast and all of a sudden you release the reality of joy over them and darkness and light collide and bam, the kingdom is advanced. That's what we're talking about. Matthew 10:1, Jesus gave the disciples authority over every unclean spirit to cast them out, to heal every disease and every affliction. When you cast out unclean spirits, when you heal the sick, when you raise the dead, just because you haven't done it yet doesn't mean you're not gonna. No, seriously. Like, let's set our eyes a little higher, right? When you do these things, when you see people set free from demonic affliction, you are being his witness. You're releasing heaven. Not long after, you know what, I've got to jump ahead. I've got to skip like 2 or 3 pages. Can you hold on for 1 second? Wait for it. That's good. Let's just all wait for it right now together. Maybe somebody else here is going to finish the sermon for me. You never know. Not long after the day of Pentecost, Peter and John, they healed that lame beggar man, right? Got in trouble. How many know when you start doing the works of Jesus, you can get in trouble? I mean, you really can. It can be upsetting. It can, you know, and they were thrown into prison. And I was going to read this whole chapter here, and we don't have time for it, but they were thrown in prison. They were released from prison, told not to preach anymore, not to do any more of those works. And Acts chapter 4, they say this prayer. Acts chapter 4:29, it says, they pray this, "And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they'd prayed, it says, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. Shaken again. And they were all filled again with the Holy Spirit. And they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So they get thrown into jail. They get told not to do that anymore. They get out of jail. And they pray for boldness. They get together. It says they get together with their friends. And they have another encounter with the Spirit. They get filled. And they pray, "God, give us more boldness. Give us more authority to heal the sick. To raise the dead. Give us more authority." And they go back out and they keep doing it. Because there was a hunger in them for more. Church, we have got to have a hunger in us for more. For more. For more. For more. Anytime somebody says to you that praying for more is a wrong prayer, they're wrong. This is to be a continual filling. Why? Because you get filled and then you give out. You get filled and then you release. You get filled and you release. And you don't just release in the four walls. You release outside of the four walls. That is it. That is where we miss it. That is where we miss it, because this is about encounter. This is about a moment where heaven collides. And we live under an open heaven. Some people say, "But I'm not living in the reality of that." I know. Many times I have not too. And I know still there's more. All last week, I don't know, God just began to visit me in my house. I mean, it's like in the living room, and I'm sitting in a chair, and bam, like, I'm like, "What's going on, honey?" Like, the presence of the Lord all of a sudden is so strong, and I just said, "I feel like we need to pray." It turned into like this 2-hour time with God where he's like, "I want to give you more. You've been asking. Here you go." No, really. And that's for every single person in this room. You sit in your chair too, and he'll do it to you. You might even get a little drunk. I can't promise you won't. Some of us need to get a little drunk so that we get the reality of heaven instead of all the reality of what we see around us. No, I'm serious. I'm really serious. Because it doesn't come like the world says it comes. It comes with a sound. It comes with wind. It comes in a way that breaks off everything that you've ever known and you don't understand and breaks you into a new place. How many want to go to that? Would you stand with me this morning? I had so much I just wanted to share, and it's all right. Church, the city needs the healing power of Jesus. Our city needs the delivering power of Jesus. There are people that are bound by darkness all over this town. You know, we have great churches all over the city, don't we? I'm serious. Like, awesome places, big ones, small ones, people that are faithful, people preaching the word, great programs, awesome. And yet our city is unchanged. Our city is got so many lost people in it, and the name of the Lord is here. And it's not how it's supposed to be. We can't be messing around and thinking that following Jesus is about going to church on Sunday and Wednesday alone. It is a part of it. We need to be here. We need the strength of what happens in this room together. But it's like 10% of it. People need freedom, and you carry what they need because you've been commissioned and you've been empowered. And if you haven't been empowered, the availability to be empowered is here today. Where the power of God is flowing, the bound will be set free. And the holy music can play anytime. Go ahead, play some. Just play some holy music, Jacob. This is what I want to just really hit right now, is that when the sound of heaven comes upon a place where people are hungry for more, and people are hungry for not just the same, when that sound comes, the multitudes will come. The thing is that they won't necessarily come into this room. They're going to come to you. They're going to come to you in the Starbucks line. They're going to come to you when you're frustrated because you're waiting for a table at a restaurant, but you're standing next to somebody that's really sick and needs prayer. They're going to hear the sound when you walk into the store and you're shopping down aisle 17 at Walmart looking for deodorant. And all of a sudden, somebody's going to come up and the Lord's going to give you a little bit of something for them. And you're not going to do it. It's not about preaching. You're going to release His love. And it's going to be a piece of heaven that touches them. And they're not going to be able to escape it. And they're going to say, I need, and then God's going to just do it. You might lead someone to Jesus in that aisle. It might not be in just that way. It might be in all sorts of ways. God, I believe, wants to speak to you, church, out there. Out there. And you don't have to sophisticate the fire. You need the fire. The fire is your best friend. Holy Spirit is your best friend. Because He's the one that's leading you into truth. Jesus, the Father, all three. And I'm telling you, this is a place we're walking into. And I think most of us, fall into one of two categories today. Either you've had encounters with the Holy Spirit that have changed you and empowered you, or that you have not had encounters with the Holy Spirit that have changed you and encountered you and empowered you. Maybe you haven't had that yet. Or the second thing is, you've had encounter after encounter after encounter, and you forgot that the encounter was to empower you to be a witness. I'd say most of us fall into that category, and there's probably people here that are just really walking in it too. You're just like releasing the kingdom everywhere you go.
The answer is never not more encounter. We need moments where we're on our faces flat, where you are getting a Holy Ghost empowerment like never before, wind, fire, all of it, regularly, regularly. But it is always there to release heaven on earth. It always comes so that when you go out of this place, you give it out everywhere you go. Nothing is ordinary anymore. Conversations are not ordinary anymore. They're filled with heaven. Just random talks with people are not ordinary anymore. They're not random anymore. They are heaven being released through you because of the authority and because of the empowerment that you have received. This is what I want to say as we close today. Just practical. What does this mean? And this is what I believe it means. I believe that many of us, I would say almost all of us, the Lord is calling us to spend more time with Him. Where you've had whatever level you've had, the Lord's calling you to more. Maybe where you've spent an hour, God wants you to spend two a day. Some of you, the Lord might be calling to spend a few hours. I'm a really busy person. I looked at my schedule for this next week, and I'm like, I can't even hardly manage what's going to happen in this next week. Some of us need to be smarter with our schedules. Think about all the screen time you have in a day. Maybe we give some of those moments up to just say, I got to be with Jesus so I can carry His heart and I can be empowered. And I sit down in whatever your favorite chair is and you say, just touch my heart. You read the word and then you just start worshiping God. And all of a sudden you hear things that you didn't hear before. That's one thing we need to do. And the second thing is this, as I close, because I am so late, we have to expect. It's as simple as that. Expect to be a witness. Expect it. You know, when you expect something and it's the Lord, it happens. If you expect to pray for someone who's sick, you're going to pray for someone who's sick. If you expect to release joy, you're going to release it. If you expect to prophesy in the Starbucks line, you're going to do it. If you expect to prophesy at work or share the heart of the Lord at your place of business or at school, you're going to do it. If you expect to share the love of Jesus out and about, it'll happen. Do you believe that? You've been empowered. You've been commissioned. All we have to do is do it. I'm going to close today. I was going to do it a different way, but we're out of time. I want you to turn around, and we're going to open the back doors, and we're going to stretch our hands out as a prophetic act that this thing is going out of these walls to those streets. Okay? Ushers, open the doors. And all the people are going to look at us like we're crazy. Stretch your hands out there. Because we see the city of Springfield, and we know, God, that your heart is for this place. You have a pent-up desire to release your kingdom all over this place, and you want to do it through everybody in here. And I pray, God, that we would take it out of these walls and we would release it to those streets in the name of Jesus. Lift your voices, church. Don't worry about the people out there. See it. See your street. See your street. See it. Just see that street. See your workplace. See the store you go to. You're going to do it. You're going to release it. Yeah. Shout out. Yeah. Go ahead. These bones will say, yeah. Just go ahead. You can go. As you're singing it, sing the song as you leave today. Take the kingdom with you.
These bones will say, great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry these